Blog Talk.
This is the ACAC Radio Network, and welcome to Ministry Beat, a show designed to highlight the latest happenings at Allegheny Center Alliance Church, a vibrant urban congregation located in the heart of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. This program will focus on the latest emphasis at ACAC known as Expanded Influence, especially the three C's of communication, campus expansion, and church planting. And now, here is your host, John Stanko.
Well, hello out there in Internet Radio Land, ACAC Variety. This is John Stanko, your host, for another edition of Ministry Beat. And I know you've probably had an eventful week personally. It certainly was at ACAC with the passing of Pastor Rock's daughter, Shannon, and the events of the weekend of the viewing and then the private funeral and Ron Morrison in town. And before we know it, the week rolls around and it's already Wednesday and we're getting ready for, or Tuesday, we're getting ready for another week. And so today I wanted to have a friend and a colleague on who has been around ACAC for a while, and that is Pastor George Furman. So I'm going to go ahead and bring him on. I know he's busy, and we'll get him interviewed. Hi, Pastor George. Welcome to Ministry Beat.
Hey, Dr. J. How are you?
I am very well. How about you?
Good. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you fine. Thanks for asking. And so like I said, last week we had Blaine on and the call dropped after about 35 minutes and he had a couple of minutes where he tried to get back in. So just if that happens, don't worry about it. Just keep calling back in. We're not KDKA, so we are we'll do the best we can. So how long have you been in the church, you and your family?
Oh, geez, probably 25 years. I mean, Mary and I started back then before we began to have children. So, and Jake's about 23 or so. So that's quite a long time.
Yeah. How did you find or come about knowing ACAC?
Well, yeah. So that's a great story, actually. I was a fairly new believer. I got saved probably right before Mary and I got married, and back in the early 90s. And I was actually living right on East Ohio Street above one of the businesses in the business district there. And we were living there, both of us, before we had children. And I was looking for a church. Of course, I came out of Roman Catholicism. And so when I got saved, I was on fire for Jesus, trying to learn as much as I could and trying to understand what the church was about. And so Allegheny Center was right there. We used to catch the bus and go into town together to work. And I had never heard of the Christian and Missionary Alliance. I had heard some of the mainstream denominations, you know, Methodist, Presbyterian, Baptist, and such, but never the CMA. I actually was at a Malcolm McDowell conference out in Oakland. I don't know if you remember Malcolm. He used to do radio. And I bumped into an old high school friend, and he told me about ACAC. And so he was a born-again believer. And so Mary and I tried it a couple of times. And, of course, we just felt at home there. And so we've been there ever since.
Yeah. And, of course, you don't live on the north side anymore. So you've kept commuting from the Northlands into ACAC. When I first met you, you were fairly involved in the church. What were some of the things that you did over the years to serve?
Oh, well, when I got saved, I got involved with Boys Club, which is the midweek outreach ministry there. And Karen Dilliman had just taken over children's ministries that year from Bruce Jackson. So that was my first year, and I taught a sixth-grade class with Bruce Woods and Tim Kell. It was quite a long time ago. And the following year, she invited me to be a coordinator of the ministry, and so I pretty much stuck with that for the next 15 years or so, 15 or 17 years. I was always in Boys Club, and serving in children's ministry. So I taught Sunday school as well, fifth grade Sunday school for a number of years in a row as well before I made the switch to middle school.
Mm-hmm. And what were you working at? What were you doing at the time? What was your occupation?
Oh, accounting. Yeah, I'm glad to be out of that. Yeah, that's what I went to college for. I was in the service from about 1980 to 83, 84, I guess I got out, and finished school at Old Dominion University down in Norfolk, Virginia, where I studied accounting because I figured, you know, I'm the practical type. I'll get out and find an accounting job. Very well defined, you know, not a lot of gray area there. So that's what I did.
Mm-hmm. And but then you were, I mean, before we talk about your transition to student ministries, what kept you at ACAC? What was it that tied the bond that caused you to be committed to this church now for 25 years?
Well, great question. Of course, you know, coming out of Catholicism, I was well adapted to the Catholic Mass, so, you know, anything was better than that, quite frankly. Uh-huh. And, you know, Rock's teaching, I was the music ministry, even though it was a long time ago. Larry Brown used to lead as a volunteer, and Kristen Woodrow played drums, and that was pretty exciting for me because I'd never seen anything like it. And I think I just began to build relationships right away, and you know, many of the friendships that I built back then, I still have today at ACAC because many of those people are still around. So, you know, and we visited a number of churches. You know, we tried Greater Works out in Monroeville, and of course the one over in Wilkinsburg. You're familiar with that one, and a couple of others, and nothing really clicked for us, but ACAC did. Plus, it was kind of convenient. Uh-huh. We were able to walk there on Sunday mornings, and once I got involved in ministry and serving, I don't know, it just took off from there. So that's kind of my story, yeah, with ACAC.
Yeah.
And I still feel the same way today as I did about it back then. Nothing's really changed for me.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've seen the church go through quite a few transitions. Talk to us about some of the transitions over the years and how you saw the church adapt and change.
Oh, boy. I don't know how affected I was personally by a lot of the transitions. Of course, you know, the first big transition is when, you know, Kelvin Walker came in to lead worship. And, you know, I became part of the worship team as well. I forgot about that. And I served under Kelvin there as an acoustic guitar player for about 10 years and built another, you know, group of relationships in that ministry as well. And, you know, Rock's always been there, so nothing's changed much from that perspective, you know. Bruce Jackson left, Ed started UIF and all those things. But children's ministries, where I was heavily involved, there wasn't a lot of change there because Karen was there the whole time until Gwen took over. You know, I would say what I might have noticed as a volunteer, just the numbers, you know, increased, adding the number of services. And I just adapted right along with it, the diversity, of course. It happened slowly over time, so it never felt like that was an abrupt change for me at all. And it's just one of those things you kind of look back and you think, wow, a lot has happened. And those are kind of like my thoughts with regards of all the changes and transitions that happened over the course of the year or 25 years.
Yeah, it's been a couple of decades. Talk to us about your transition to church staff. How did that come about, and what were you doing? And then we'll get into what you're doing now.
Yeah, so, you know, the Lord was always faithful in providing employment for us. And, you know, accounting was something that I never really liked that much, to be quite honest with you. It's something I did to earn a living. But it, a lot of times it felt like work to me, and we had been bought out a couple of times by other bigger organizations. And the last time we were bought out, they were going to move our unit out to Portland, Oregon. And I didn't really feel like moving out there. So, I asked the Lord for something new and something different. I just really, really was ready for that at that point for a change in vocation. I didn't know what it would be. I never envisioned it is what it is. I never thought that in a million years. And so I just prayed. I didn't send out any resumes. And now as I look back, I can kind of see how the Lord was directing me into student ministries, because I would say, you know, about the year before that, I had been teaching Sunday school over in children's ministries in the fifth grade for a number of years in a row. And every year we would sign up for another tour of duty. And when I went to do that, they had the poster on the wall and somebody else's name was in there in fifth grade. And I thought, whoa, that seems kind of odd. And, but I never felt like I needed to go and try to see what was up. I just thought, hey, maybe the Lord's directed me. So that's when I gave middle school a try. And so I actually volunteered over there for a year or two before, my job was coming to an end. So that was sort of my transition into student ministries by way of volunteering, and just a confirmation for me that that's where God was leading. And of course, you know, you called me up one day out of the blue. I don't even think I knew you that well, really. I knew who you were. And I was a few months into it. I wasn't sending resumes out. I didn't know what I wanted to do. Prayed and trusted God, and Mary's getting nervous because the months are ticking away. I had a little bit of time and was going to get a little severance at the end if I stayed. But, you know, you called me. We had a conversation, and a couple weeks later we had another conversation, and you began to unveil sort of what you were thinking. And I guess we both prayed about it. And long story short, about 10 weeks later, you know, I was part of student ministries as an administrator to sort of help them organize and coordinate and communicate a little bit better in there. They had a staff of about 5 youth pastors, and of course they're all creative thinkers. I think you thought maybe I could bring a little bit of balance in there and help them run a little smoother. So that's where it's
started. We gave you a whip and a chair. We sent you in and said, you know, get those lions and tigers to respond. And you did, and you did a great job. You did provide the balance. But you threw yourself in 110% and did a super job. And then when I transitioned out of off staff, you went through another transition. Talk to us about that.
Which one was that you're talking about? Which
to, over to adult over to adult life.
Oh, yeah, well. You know, when I began over in student ministries, it was sort of purely in an administrative role. Of course, you encouraged me to take PBI, Pennsylvania Bible Institute. I did that. And that's a 3-year process. And over the course of that time, you know, my role in student ministries as I work with Scott and the rest of the staff began to change a little bit from purely an administrative role into a ministry role. And I really never saw that coming. But it did. It happened. And, you know, Scott gave me opportunity to minister and to preach and all those things. And so I began to feel the Lord's call upon me into more of a ministry role. And, of course, then I was hit with cancer. That was unexpected. I guess anybody that gets it does kind of feel that way. And that was back in 2014, just about a little over 3 years ago, February of 14, I got cancer. I went through some pretty brutal treatments. I had to take a couple of months off. But just before I began my treatments, Blaine called me and asked me what I would think about transitioning over into adult ministries. I think they were anticipating Karen's imminent retire and felt that that I may be a good fit over there after she left. And so I was up for it. I take that as a word from the Lord, and I'm willing to do whatever leadership wanted me to do. So, you know, I jumped in over there, and it was a slow start because I was slowly building up my strength again. I think I finally got back to work somewhere around August or September. And, And then, you know, we had some transitions happen in the worship department. So I think they felt comfortable enough at that point that they asked Karen to go over there and help keep that thing afloat while they figured out what was going to happen next. And so adult ministries became mine to be able to minister in. And so I've been there probably going on 2.5 years now, something like that. Yeah, I guess it has been that long. So so that's how I migrated over to there.
Yeah. And so when you finished Pennsylvania Bible Institute, did you go through the ordination process?
Yeah. So I just kind of completed that. That was a 3-year process as well. So total overall, it's been about 6 years of preparation for that. I just completed all of my work. So that's all done and I'm right on time. The only thing I need to do at this point is take the ordination exam. And once I pass that, sit before the board and have them affirm all that. So that's what's in front of me now. I just need to prepare for that exam and then take it.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about your children. Your children are delightful, and they're not children anymore, but at least one of them maintains pretty strong ties with the Christian and Missionary Alliance. So talk to us about them.
Yeah, actually a couple of them are. So Jake he's up at Somerset Alliance Church. He's the worship pastor up there. He too is in the ordination process. He's been up there going on 2 years now, fresh out of NIAC when he graduated. He was married last June in Massachusetts. I had the honor to be able to marry him and his wife, Caroline. She's a sweet girl, and she's a God seeker as well, and they both make each other better. So we're glad to have her part of the family. So he's up there. He's doing well. In fact, Mary and I went up there and visited this past Sunday. We try to make it up there once a month if we can and sit in his church service and then just go grab some lunch afterwards. It's only about an hour and 15-minute drive, and it's a real easy one on the turnpike on a Sunday. So, and it was great weather on Sunday as well. So it was nice to get up there and see him. They're doing real well. They have an apartment up there. He's 23. Jess is 22. She's been married for 2 years, married a Cleveland guy, actually. She met him at Moody Bible Institute. His name's Josh. He's a fantastic kid, too. We're really blessed to have him as part of the family. And right now, those two are interning for some Alliance missionaries out in the Green Mountains, which is over in the Eastern Bloc nations near Russia. And they've been over there for several months now. They're coming back in May. I think their total tour was about 8 months or so. And so they're going to come back, and they've decided to they want to go to grad school and get a master's in some kind of theology. They're either going to attend Trinity over in Ambridge. I think that's where Blaine actually got his MDiv, or they're going to go out to Chicago. There's a Trinity in Chicago as well. So I think they're trying to figure out which one they want to go to, and of course, it's a pretty big decision. So we'll see.
Sure.
They'll be back in May. Yeah, Lindsay, she's a junior at Moody Bible in Chicago right now. She's studying for a semester over in Jerusalem and just having the time of her life over there. It's really been neat following her and seeing some of the pictures, and they're seeing all the sites. They've taken a couple of weeks to do that, and it's really been a great trip. And we're actually squeezing a little bit of school in there too. Moody seems to do a real good job with that. Some, you know, professors travel over there, and they teach some accelerated classes in between. So they should be coming back in April, actually. From that trip. And then Abby, she's still here with us. She's a sweetheart. She's 18 years old. She's in her senior year of high school, but she's taken some classes at CCAC this semester. She's really done with sort of her high school core work and all that. So now she's doing some dual credit things. And she works at Starbucks. And so she's making some money and doing that. And she's trying to figure out what next year might look like for her as well. So So that's it. That's the four kids, and they're all doing great, and they're all in good health, and we just thank God every day for how they're serving him and for what he's been able to do in their lives.
Yeah, yeah, amen. And certainly your involvement and commitment in the church obviously has spilled over in the best way. You know, sometimes the kids of those who work in the church don't always relate well, but your children certainly have, and they make me smile all the time. Which leads us to, you know, this initiative we're calling Expanded Influence. You've been on staff now as you have seen this kind of incubating and now hatching and emerging. What to, talk to us as a pastor, as a, you know, a member of ACAC for 25 years. What's this mean to you? What's it represent to you? Why is this the right season for it? Where do you think it needs to go, and how it needs to play out? Just talk to us in general about what you see with the whole initiative.
Well, I'm not intimately involved in the details and the rollout of all nine pieces of Expanded Influence, but, you know, it's been percolating for a couple of years now. As Rock first unfolded the vision to us. And I'm excited for it because it's an opportunity for us as a church. Well, let me back up. What tends to happen to a lot of churches, especially churches that grow large, is after a period of time, after growth, they tend to focus mostly inwardly and ministering to their own people so that most of their resources are devoted to people already in the kingdom. And, you know, we need to minister to people in the kingdom because that's discipleship and that's part of the Great Commission, and we need to do those things. But oftentimes churches lose sight of ministering outside the walls of the church. And so I'm excited for Rock's vision on that. It's a testimony and I think a confirmation to me that God's in it, because I think God wants us to get outside the walls of the church, and he wants us to impact the community. And I know part of that, too, is to help other churches minister where they are, especially churches that try to navigate urban settings as well. But, you know, we've been doing this for a couple of years. We rolled out with the Holy Spirit in us and through us. And I think back in September of 2005, we started with a Deeper Life Conference, and we spent a week here at ACAC where we invited the congregation in, both in the morning, afternoon, and evening sessions. And we had a couple of guys come down from, you know, Alliance Theological Seminary, Rob Reimer and Martin Sanders, and they ministered to us in soul care all week long. And it was a tremendous time. And that really has spawned a lot of study groups, and a lot of people really have benefited from that. And you know, of course, you know, the whole target, the whole purpose was just seeking deeper intimacy with God, just the Holy Spirit in us, wanting to grow our walk with him and get rid of some of the garbage and the obstacles that tend to prevent that in our lives. So, you know, that was one. And, of course, a couple of years ago, we rolled out 91 Weeks with Jesus, and we had some 2,000 people sign up to walk through that journey. We're not really sure how many actually finished it, but I know a lot did, and I know a lot at least part or most of the way made it through. And that was something that not a lot of people have done, actually try to navigate the entire Bible themselves. And we have seen a lot of fruit from that as well. So we're excited to be able to do it again, 91 Weeks with the Holy Spirit. We just launched that last week. Again, you know, the goal is try to develop self-feeders in God's word. And that's just a really critical component, because a lot of churches today and a lot of Christians today, just they're biblically illiterate in a sense, and they don't really understand what's in the scriptures. And if you don't understand what's in the scriptures, how can you live according to the scriptures? So it's basic and fundamental, but it's one that people are really excited about. And I'll tell you what, I've been overwhelmed this time too, because, you know, we rolled it out about a month or so ago. We began distributing our new scripture reading guides and our sign-up kits and everything to do it again. And we were running out of them every week. I mean, we printed 500 the first week. They were gone before the third service even started. We printed another 500. They were gone, another 500. So, and I just think I heard today, Nate told me that some 2,000 hits, 2,000 people listened to Rock's first week of his online commentary related to 91 weeks, where he saw the Holy Spirit show up in that week's reading. So, I mean, that's a lot of hits, another 2,000 people. So, again, it's that carrying on of the Holy Spirit in us and through us. And the summer before last, we actually took a summer break from our normal growth group activity. About half of our growth groups meet in the summer, the other half take them off. And we did an evangelism study, Bold for Jesus, we called it. It was Bill Hybels, Just Walk Across the Room. And it lasted 4 weeks. We did a couple sessions of that. And we had about maybe 400 of our people actually walk through that. Our growth group supported that. They did it in there. And so, you know, again, it's the Holy Spirit through us trying to engage people with, you know, the message of the gospel. So, you know, so we've been doing this for a couple of years. And, of course, now, as you well know, we're into the three C's of expanded influence, church planting, campus redesign, and communications. And, you know, we have our communications director on staff, and he's been ramping up. And I know you've been working with him, Nate. I've been able to begin to build a relationship with him as well. His office is right next to mine. And church planting, you know, now we have David Lee on staff, and he'll be spearheading that as he works with Pastor Sheldon as they're looking at Homestead and potentially other locations. Of course, we have Faith Journey Alliance Church, a small church from Moon Township that has been worshiping with us in our chapel ministry as well. And, of course, campus redesign. You know, can't forget about that. And we have a company called Costco. Of course, Blaine probably told you a lot of this last week, but they're in meeting with us, learning what we do in ministry so that they can plan and design a facility that'll work well for us and serve us hopefully for the next 100 years as well.
Yeah. So in your mind, you're on board with, like you say, you may not have been, you know, actively involved with all the details of planning it, but from everything you see, expanded influence is just very consistent biblically and very consistent with the mission as you've understood it of ACAC.
I mean, absolutely. I mean, expanded influence is just really sharing Jesus. is really, it's pretty fundamental. It's getting outside of the walls of the church and hopefully having an impact on our community. You know, one of the final four tenets is neighborhood transformation. I mean, we do need to do a better job of getting into the neighborhood. You know, we invite people in, but we can't just sit by and expect people to walk in our doors. We've got to be creative. We've got to figure out ways to get at them and meet them where they are, meet their needs and introduce Christ and love them. Love them into the kingdom if that's possible. So, and as long as God is moving ahead, we know there's going to be opposition. You know, I mean, the enemy's out there. He's alive and well. He doesn't take vacation. He's pushing back and creating disturbances and disruptions. But, you know, that won't deter us. We'll keep pressing forward and do what we believe God's called us to do. So it is important. It is critical.
Yeah. What implications for adult life ministries? Any that you see with the 3C initiative, the communication, campus expansion, and church planting?
Well, of course, you know, one of our best vehicles to communicate with our congregation is through our growth groups, you know, and as you know, they just supported an initiative called Time, Talent, and Treasure that I helped to organize and roll out to them. And so we went through Randy Alcorn's Treasure Principle. And, of course, you taught some sessions on talent and treasure. And we're following both of those up with extended studies. I know Paul Eichenlaub and Ann Hyman right now are walking through 8 weeks of Good Sense, which is a financial study for people feel like they need more practical help managing their finances and kingdom stewardship. And I know coming up here in April and May, you're going to be rolling out some seminars for talent and treasure. So, I mean, you know, these things were designed to, you know, equip people and prepare them for greater engagement in expanded influence, whatever that might look like as we roll forward and press forward. So, you know, I mean, I'm not directly involved in communications and campus redesign, except, you know, to provide input like any of the other departments are. And, you know, I've had some discussions with David Lee about what discipleship or men's ministry might look like in a church plant, those kinds of things. And so, hey, we just put one foot in front of the other and take it as it comes and do what we believe God's calling us to do. And, of course, trusting and depending upon him.
Yeah, yeah. Talk to us about, if you don't mind, a little bit about your bout with cancer.
Oh, yeah. So I had this lump on the side of my neck back in, well, actually, yeah, I finally discovered it back in 2013. Doctor didn't think it was anything, said, let's just keep an eye on it. About a year later, it was still there, so he said, hey, we better go get this looked at. So I had a scan done, a CT scan. The next day, I was sitting in my office over in Student Ministries, and my doctor called on my cell phone, and I thought, oh, that's strange. And, of course, I took the call, John, that everybody talks about. You know, when you get that call from your doctor, I got that call from my doctor, and he told me what it was. And, of course, my head was spinning at the time. And I even had somebody in my office, and I just was like, wow, all I could think about was how am I going to tell Mary, and what does it mean, and is it going to be fatal, and, you know, is there a, what's the prognosis, and, you know, what's God doing, and all those kinds of things. So, yeah, I discovered that, and, you know, I went to see my ENT relatively quick. It took a while for all of it to really sink in and for me to understand what was going on, but bottom line was I had a tumor on the base of my tongue. It's classified as a head and neck cancer, which is, you know, it's not the most common type of cancer, but it's out there and a lot of people have it. And you can get it anywhere in your throat. You know, Tony Gwynn of the San Diego Padres died of cancer in his salivary glands and head and neck cancer. Jim Kelly, probably real famous, he had head and neck cancer, had it all up through his nasal passages. It seems like he's recovered from it. So, basically, the treatment plan is radiation and chemo. That's the standard of care for that. And I visited my ENT, and he stuck a scope down my nose in the back of my throat and saw it right away. And you know, I'll tell you this, though. You know, the call I got from my doctor was bad news, but every report that I received since then has been good, praise God. And it was the right type of cancer that would respond favorably to treatment. You know, he gave me an 80% cure prognosis when I was in his office that day. And those are pretty good numbers. You like to hear 80. You know, dipping below 60. Eh, but 80 was pretty good. I could live with that. And so I went through 7 weeks of chemo and radiation. Really put me out of commission. Had to get a feeding tube, lost 55 pounds, not a bad thing. So I went from 218 all the way down to 165, and I had trouble keeping maintaining the 165 for 2 years after my treatment. So, you know, over the last 6 months, I put on about 15 pounds. So my appetite's really come back better. I don't taste like I used to. My salivary glands are maybe running at 10% or something like that. And so that's a challenge. But you know what? I feel terrific. I feel great. Like I said, every report, every scan's come back good. I see my ENT next week. I haven't seen him for 6 months. He'll take a peek down my, you know, throat area and take a look around. That's about the only time I feel a little bit squeamish sometimes is when he looks down there. And, you know, of course, you want to hear good reports, because, you know, I hope to be around for a while and be able to minister longer. And so that's my cancer story. You know, I, as far as I know, it's gone. you know, I'm coming up on this May will be 3 years since my treatments ended, and so I'm pretty much. If it came back at this point, it would be rare. I think at this point, there's probably only about a 10% chance that it would come back. But they don't clear you until 5 years, really. So I have a couple more to
right.
go.
So what? It's probably a trite question, but how does this change your outlook on life and ministry when you go through something like that?
Oh, well, you know, it's a trial, and who likes to go through trials? Trials are difficult, you know, and some trials you can avoid and some trials you can't. That's just one you can't. And, you know, I hope to never go through it again because it wasn't fun. Painful. It was debilitating. You know, for a while there, all I could do was lay on a chair and not do much. I had to drive myself to treatments, and I threw up all the time. And, you know, I don't know. You know, you spend a lot of time alone. And, you know, I was in the house much of the day. Mary would be at work or whatever. And you spend a lot of time thinking, you know, what if this is it? What does that mean for me, for my past? And, you know, and you spend a lot of time reviewing life and wishing you could do things differently or would have done things differently. But, you know, and I didn't always feel God in the process. You know, I had a little bit of a dark night of the soul going through those treatments, really. God spoke to me once the day of my treatments, and he gave me Joshua 1:9, you know, do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I got that firm, no doubt. And from that moment on, I knew that God was going to be with me. I knew there was no reason to fret. I didn't know I'd be cured, but I just knew that he would be with me, and that's what I appreciated. And I felt so much better after that. And I really had a good attitude, I think, going into the treatments and everything. But they were tough. And so, you know, I would say, you know, as I read through the scriptures, there's a lot of them that talk about the brevity of life, let me tell you. There's a lot. And, you know, I experienced that, the brevity of life. And so I do have a new appreciation for it, but not the kind of appreciation that you hear from a lot of people that come out of it. Maybe they're not believers, and they might say things like, boy, I want to get the most out of life while I can and all that kind of stuff. It's different. You know, it's different. I think it showed me that life is brief, that every moment does count for his glory. Okay. And, nothing's guaranteed. And I do have to live life every day with no guarantees. And, so I do appreciate it. It's given me, I think, an appreciation for other people that battle cancer. And, oh, my gosh, you know, buy a yellow car and you notice all of a sudden all the people that drive yellow cars, too. It's the same way with cancer. You know, the people that have cancer just down at ACAC on our staff. It's amazing, especially some of the people in our construction staff and janitorial staff. It's amazing the people that have, and some of them still have it. Charles still has it, and that poor man's been on chemo for years, and so a lot of people have had it a lot rougher than I have, and so I have no complaints. I never blame God 1 minute for it, and I'm thankful for having made it through and benefited from it in some way. I think you're the one that told me once, it's a $1 million experience, but I'd never pay a dime to go through it again.
Yeah, that's it. That is so true. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and I think I had a little bout with skin cancer last year, and you still get the phone call, and they say I have good news and bad news. You know, it's good news, it's treatable, but the bad news is it is melanoma, it is cancer. And so, you know, for me, when I just react, I don't know how many days I have. So however God wants to use me, however I can do what it is that God wants me to do, I want to do it to the best of my ability. And again, last week with Pastor Rock's daughter, we saw, you know, the old die and the young can die. We are not guaranteed tomorrow, so we are to maximize the opportunities we have here. So I've been excited about expanded influence. I'm glad. I feel like we've finally ramped up, you know, where we need to be, and we're moving forward. Any concerns in a building project? Any pitfalls you see? Any potholes that we need to be careful, be aware of?
Boy, well, I'm glad that we finally handed off the project to an architectural firm, Costco. When they came in, I was very impressed with their presentation during ministry team. And, of course, I had the opportunity to meet with them. Our department did that afternoon. And, you know, they didn't talk about how many rooms do you need and where do you think we ought to put this. I mean, they spent, you know, a solid hour and a half just listening to us and asked us how we do ministry. And that's all they really cared about. And so, I mean, I haven't gone through this before, but my sense was that they seem to know what they're doing, and they've done churches before. And I feel like they're starting out in the right places. And I hear they're coming in again soon to watch, you know, a weekend, how a weekend works and flows here as well. And I mean, we've got to get children's ministry over here. That's the bottom line. So we kind of have to build. And we really have no choice. I mean, at the end of the day, if we end up with more parking, how is that a bad thing? It's going to be more difficult, you know, in the interim, I think, as we try to navigate the building projects. But, you know, if this is what God's called us to do and this is his purpose for us, then he's going to see us through. You know, we just need to be faithful to do what he's called us to do. We need to be listening for him and not thinking that we can figure this out on ourselves, because, you know, he controls the supernatural. He has providence. And if he is in this, and I believe he is, then we're going to come out on the other side of this in a much better position, because, you know, right now it's difficult. ACAC is not an easy place to do church. It's not an easy place to go to church. I told that to our new members. We received 22 new members this week in our Saturday at 6 service. It was awesome. And every time we receive new members, it's the platform is full of them. And that's just confirmation to me as well that God's key, he keeps drawing people in here to our fellowship. So, you know, but it's hard. You know, we get 30, 40, 50 visitors a week, but it's hard to retain them, because once they get out of ACAC after their first visit, they probably feel like they've been through it, you know. We try to make it easy for them, but it's not. That's the reality of it. You park, you walk your kids over there, back over to the street. By the time you get in service and figure out where things are, you've missed part of it. And, you know, who wants to come back for that again? So it's difficult. And so I'm hopeful that in a new setting, when we're all over in one campus with better parking, that we'll have a nice, smooth flow for visitors when they come, new people when they come, and they can experience ACAC in a much better way. But, you know, there's my only apprehensions are that, you know, as we're dealing with construction, and I mean, parking's going to even probably get worse for us as we do that. So, but no real apprehensions, and it's something we got to do, and I'm sure the Lord will see us through it.
Sounds good to me. Well, I concur, and we are uniquely called as a people, this configuration, all of us, called to this day. God knew it and has commissioned us to do something, and like you said, to, should the Lord tarry, to establish ACAC for the next 100 years. And
right.
It's kind of exciting to me. I've always been privileged to stand on the sacrifices of so many people that brought ACAC to this point. Now we get to make a contribution so that people in the future can, and their children, will be saying the same thing. So it's a privilege. It is going to be, it's a responsibility. It's going to require some changes, some sacrifices, some finances that all of us are going to have to dig deeply for. But for such a time as this, we've come together, and we can't just be consumers of good church. We have to help build good church, and to me, that's what expanded influence is all about.
Right. Yeah, well put.
Yeah, so, well, brother, I'm going to let you go. I just, anything I missed, anything else you want to say, anything about where we are and the initiative itself and how you would want listeners to view and see and frame and think about what it is that we're talking about doing?
The only thing I would say is, you know, ACAC, 25 years later, to me, I still love it as a fellowship. Certainly it looks different than it did before, but you know, I've spent the last 7 years on the inside, and there's nothing that has, you know, made me think any differently about it. From our leadership on down, we're good people, godly people, from what I can tell. We love each other. We desire to serve the Lord with excellence. And I love being here today as much as I did 25 years ago. And I'm thankful for our leadership and just the way that Rock and Blaine and even now Ross, I know Sheldon's been around too, have led us and continue to oversee at a high level. I'm very comfortable with that. And, you know, one of the things that drew me to ACAC from the get-go, way back when, I can remember still thinking this, was our elder board. I was just so impressed with the godly men that sat on our elder board. And, you know, they're different guys today for the most part, but, I had an opportunity to sit in there about a year ago and just see them all together. And I thought, wow, this is really good. You know, this is a great church. And I still feel that way 25 years later. It hasn't gotten old for me. I'm just as excited to walk into a worship service or come to work every day. That's the best thing, John. I mean, I heard somebody attributed something to Einstein I saw on TV the other day. He who finds something that he likes to do never works a day in his life. It was something like right. that. I don't know if it was him or Confucius, maybe, but I mean, that's the way I feel
some
now.
Some famous guy.
Yeah, right. But there's so much truth to that because I spent a lot of years not really enjoying what I did, and now to be able to do this is just incredible.
Well, you're a lot more than an accountant, and we are blessed and honored to have you. So thank you for what you're doing. Thanks for your perspective on expanded influence. And we just pray God's blessing on you and your family and many, many productive years of ministry, and God's blessing upon your final steps towards your ordination.
Thanks, John. I appreciate it.
All righty. Take care, brother. Thank you for your time.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, there you have Pastor George Furman, his story, a little bit of who he is and his involvement with ACAC and his perspective from sort of the inside as a staff person on what expanded influence means for him and to him. So thank you for listening, and we will be coming back very soon with some additional interviews with student ministries and some other ideas I have. I am off to Kenya soon, so we're trying to squeeze as many interviews in as we can before we go. But this is John Stanko, your host for Ministry Beat, signing off for another session, and we'll be back again soon. I'll see you around campus, and if you happen to listen to this before February 25th, 26th, I'll be speaking this weekend in all services. So hopefully we'll see you on campus soon as together we engage and accept this commission to expand our influence as a people. So long for now. We'll be back again soon.
Thanks again for listening to this edition of Ministry Beat with your host, John Stanko. Join us again soon on the ACAC Internet Radio for more insight into and information about the Expanded Influence Initiative at Allegheny Center Alliance Church. You can also access this show by going online to www.acacreach.com. If you have any questions concerning Expanded Influence or with ideas for future shows, you can write John at john.stanko@acac.net. JOHN.STANKO. Thank you, and tell your friends about Ministry Beat.